Thank you for our kids. Thank you that they have an opportunity to hear from the truth of your word, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them, encourage them. Father, be with us now as we also go through your word, Lord. I just pray that that any puffing up or any guilt and shame or anything that the enemy has found a way to get in and cause our ears to close at certain areas or certain topics, Lord, I pray that the enemy would have no place here, that he would be bound. We pray for your Holy Spirit to reign. Lord, that our minds would be clear, our hearts would be open, and our lives would be before you. So, Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you are a God who knows us and loves us, not because of what we can do for you, but because of what you've done for us and who we are in you as a result of what you've done. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, Lord, that you'd be speaking them today. And for those of us who do know you, Lord, that you would be bringing areas of our lives before you, and that we would be willing to see radical change from the inside out. Bless this time, Lord. Bless the word of God in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Guys, we're going, let's stay standing for the reading of the word. And 1 Samuel 23. And we are starting in verse 15. 1 Samuel 23, starting in verse 15. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained in Horesh. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hidden among the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hikalah, south of Jeshimon? No, now, O king, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for handing him over to the king." Saul replied, "The king, the Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and make further preparation. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me he is very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah." So they sent out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Araba, south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began to search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went to the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Sela Hamalakom, Koth. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Please be seated. You know, God's pretty amazing about how he delivers his people, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 7 through 12 and 16 say this, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." Guys, no matter what's going on, no matter how dark it may seem, we don't lose heart. We don't have to lose heart. We do not lose heart, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work within us, but life is at work in you. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Amen. As this is not a call to have a stiff upper lip. This is not a call to just, you know, rub some dirt on it. Put your back into it. Get it together. It's not that kind of a calling. It's not even a calling to just ignore the pain that you're feeling. God never says ignore the pain you're feeling. He says, I will be with you in the midst of it. I will stand with you. I will carry you through it. Because suffering is awful and it hurts. And it's not something we want for ourselves or for anyone else. But the key is, and the good news is, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. As we continue today in David's struggle, we're going to understand why we don't lose heart. So let's take a peek at it. And remember, at this point in the story, the pressure on David is very, very serious. He's been on the run for a very long time, and Saul is on a nationwide hunt for David. And remember what's happened recently, just recently, is all this is happening, and just recently, there's been an unbelievable destruction of people, of a place, of... Saul has found a friend in an Edomite, and the two of them and got together. They killed all the priests but one, the people, the livestock, and the word of that destruction of what's taken place. When you've got someone who does something awful, word travels. And so the word has gone out, and people are hearing about what Saul has done to those that he thought, it's not true, but to those that he thought were against him and were aiding David, when David is actually not an enemy of Saul. But Saul's living in a way that there's so much confusion in his mind. He was prepared to brutally punish anyone who helped David because of his confusion. And David couldn't even trust the people of the town of Keilah, the town that he had just rescued that we went over last week. He couldn't even trust them because why? Because they were in a place where they knew that as he talked to God about it and said, will they turn me over? God said, yeah, they will. They will. He was on the run again and he was heading even further south. Verse 15 of chapter 23. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. Guys, Ziph was about 12 miles south of Keilah, and it's in the hills. And the wilderness in Ziph, it's rough country. It's not a resort. It's rough territory, and everything about his physical situation was depressing. Have you been in a place where you came and at a turn of events, God brings you into place and he's with you, but the situation that you're in is rough. You're struggling. You don't have anywhere to go. Verse 16, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. I love that. This is the last time David and Jonathan will be together. And what does Jonathan take this opportunity to do? He does what he always does with David. He encourages him. He reminds him of the truth. I love it. Verse 14, he says, don't be afraid. Now, did David have reason to fear? Absolutely. But Jonathan is reminding him of the truth of the promise of God. You will be king. You don't need to live in fear. Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. He's saying, you know what? I'm under you. I'm giving. That spot is not my spot. God has called you to be the king, not me. And I'll be under you. I'll be serving you. David, it's the promise of God. Do you remember? God is true to his promises. He will protect you. Even though there's every reason to fear, you don't need to fear. You don't need to live in fear. Guys, all of us have been in places in our lives where it made sense to be afraid, where it made sense to be discouraged, where something happened at work or something happened at home or something happened with friends that causes us to say, who can I trust? What's really going on here? Have you ever had a boss come and just take the rug out from underneath you? And just maybe a victory that was a part of what you were a part of was the boss took credit for, and the things that didn't go so well, those things were given over to you. Maybe you and others. It can also happen in relationships and friendships. Sometimes we can be disappointed. We can be discouraged because friendships, people see things from different light. The enemy gets in there. The flesh is weak. And we start to see a friend as somebody who's not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's promises are true. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. Verse 18, the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained in Horesh. I love it because when Jonathan has that time with David, he brings David's mind and heart back to the truth of God's word. Guys, that's what we're called to do with each other. When we meet together and somebody is sharing something with you of a struggle, we don't have to just say, sorry. I'm sorry things are bad and leave it at that. We don't even have to stop at just, well, hey, I'll pray for you. But we bring them back to their position in Christ, to what the truth of God's word says about them. And I've had people do this when they don't bring me back to being counseled by them, but they bring me back to being counseled by God, the Holy Spirit. And they bring me back to the truth of the word and where I'm looking to him for the answers. And now my struggle is not put on their shoulders. My struggle is put before the Lord as they've helped lead me back. We do that with each other, don't we? We can. Discipleship is not making people dependent on the discipler. Discipleship is how do we lead people back to the power of God himself and allow the Holy Spirit, the great counselor, to be the one that brings blessing and transformation. Guys, it's God who changes our lives. But how he usually changes our lives is not by changing our situation. You've heard me say it before. But he changes us in the midst of the situation. Are you willing to listen and hear and be transformed by the truth of the word? Not my truth, not another person's truth, but God's truth. The only real truth that there is. So now we come to, after Jonathan and David have this time of encouragement, you know what? David's about to go through some serious hard times. And God gives him that blessing of a friend. That kindred spirit, that friend who comes alongside and says, you're okay. God's made you a promise. God does not lie. Trust him, David. No matter what happens, trust him. No matter what my father does, Jonathan says, no matter to what length he goes, trust God. And then we take a look at Saul and David and the Philistines here in chapter 19 through the end of the scripture that we're going through. The Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds of Horesh and on the hill of Hakilah, south of Jeshimon?" See, some of the Ziphites came with detailed information. Why? Because they were fearful, because they'd seen what Saul had done in the past. And to be on Saul's good side meant at least he wasn't going to kill you and everyone you knew and take your animals and just destroy everything. And so fear leads people. When we live in fear, we start making decisions based on fear. And when we're making decisions based on fear, we're going away from God's blessing and truth. I won't be too specific, but there was a time early on in Julie and I's marriage where Julie and I really feared for our lives from someone we loved and knew, and it was, our hearts were coming to that place of, gotta trust God here. Gotta trust God to wake us up if he needs to wake us up. Gotta trust God to deliver us. God's in control. He won't allow anything to happen that's not in his plan. He's not gonna be surprised. So guys, know that the enemy, your enemy, God's enemy, he can't come around and surprise and fool God. God is sovereign. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. To be in his hand is in the best, safest place. You know what's most beautiful about that truth? Is that nothing separates us from God. You can even take my life, but you can't separate me from what's most important. My relationship with Jesus Christ is eternal. Verse 20, "Now, your majesty, come down whenever it pleases you to do so, and we will be responsible for giving him into your hands." See, they knew what Saul had done with the priest and the people at Nob, and they were there to serve him. They were there to work out of fear and give the king what they thought he wanted and what he did want. And Saul replied, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me." Think about those words. Think about the words that Saul is saying right there. "The Lord bless you for your concern for me." Guys, how sad is it that the powerful king saw himself as the victim? That's amazing. The king who had the power of the armies, of the people, he saw himself as the victim. Oh, thank you for poor me. Where's David? He's living in the forest, in the desert, in the this, and the moving. Where's the king? When he hears some news, he comes out of the kingdom and does his little thing and then goes back to high living. But the king is so taken out of reality because of his anger, his jealousy, his unforgiveness that he's blind. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally blind. He's become so confused by bitterness. He's just stirred that pot. Verse 22, "Go and get more information." What is he doing? He's been on this journey before, hasn't he? He's been in this spot already. He's had David right there. So he's doubling down on the information. He's like, okay, that's great that you've... But he's this David guy, he's crafty, you guys. So we're going to have to really... Where does he go when things get a little iffy looking? Where's his spots? You know, where does he have any tree that he climbs up? And where does he go when things get weird? I want you to find out the details. Go and get more information. Find out where David usually goes and who has seen him there. They tell me he's very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses and come back to me with definite information. Then I will go with you. If he is in the area, I will track him down among all the clans of Judah. When somebody is feeling desperate, they're more dangerous. When somebody who's doing something bad feels desperate, they get more and more aggressive and willing to take chances and willing to do what they feel like is needed. And that's exactly where Saul's heart and mind is right now. Verse 24, so they set out and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the desert of Maon, in the Araba, south of Jeshimon. Saul and his men began to search, and when David was told about it, he went down to the rock and stayed in the desert of Maon. When Saul heard this, he went to the desert of Maon in pursuit of David. So what's happening? David's right where the Ziphites had said he would be. They didn't get it wrong. They gave very specific information, and David is there. It's an easy shot for Saul. The target has been located. The target is way overpowered. Zero in, take him out. It's that simple. Verse 26, Saul was going along one side of the mountain, and David and his men were on the other side of the mountain, hurrying to get away from Saul. So what do they know? What do we know about what David knows from that statement right there? Hurrying to get away from Saul. They know. David has guys who are getting him information too. And he hears Saul's seriously close. He's coming around the bend. Hurrying to get away from Saul, as Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them. In just a moment, they're going to have him. Just a moment, he'll be done. David has nowhere to go. He's absolutely and completely finished. He's got nowhere left to hide. And God steps in, as God does. So, guys, I can promise you that you will not have the answers to all the situations you're going to be in the future. You know from looking backwards, you did not have most of the answers to the very big challenges in the past. But you know the God who does. And he knows you and calls you child if you've made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in faith, what seems impossible becomes possible. In faith, what cannot work out, what there is no way out, and yet God steps in and delivers and finds you a way and provides a way for you to walk through, walk into. As there is no temptation which is greater than what Jesus has given you the ability to say no. There's nothing that comes at you that can separate you from his love. And so the question is, are we going to live according to the truth of the word of God and be obedient to the word and trust God for who he says he is? Or are we going to choose to live according to the lie, which says you need to be scared? I know one thing. In all the times of meeting with people who are struggling through things, for 23 years of full-time ministry, fear causes people to step away out often of the blessing of God, of the truth of God. Often believers will say, I can't trust him with this. Now, it's not something we say outwardly, I can't trust him with this. But it's something that if the person honestly looks at the decisions they're making, that's exactly what they're saying. Where are you right now in your situation with work? How about a friendship? How about a relationship that's gone in the wrong direction? It's so easy to give up. It's so easy to just wash our hands of everything. I want to encourage us. When we can do nothing else, sometimes we've reached and there's nothing else that can be done except pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. I'm still praying for my father who doesn't know the Lord. He's getting older. Time is less. Do I need to live in fear, God running, or do I trust God and pray that God will deliver him, that God will bring him into faith? What about you? What about you? What's in your heart? What are those things that are near and dear to the center of your heart? Who's the loved one that's on your heart right now? Who's the loved one that you just think of and your heart yearns and hurts? God is greater. God is greater than the enemy, than the flesh. God is greater. David had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to go. And I love this because this is where God steps in. And it says, a messenger right here. As Saul was and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, come quickly. The Philistines are raiding the land. Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selah. Hamalakoth, the rock of escape. I love that. The rock of escape. God's going to provide a way. Can you believe it? Can you believe God? Let me ask you this. Is it better to trust your knowledge of the situation or God's knowledge of the situation? Guys, we all have so many different experiences. We are products of our experiences, of our knowledge, of our understanding. Our truth is not truth. Did you hear that? My truth is not truth. I'm getting closer as I grow in my walk with the Lord. But still, there are areas of my understanding that my experiences have given me a perspective that's from an emotional truth rather than God's truth. Come quickly. The one thing that truly threatened Saul's kingdom was happening. The Philistines, Saul's nemesis, the enemy of God's people. The one, you know, it's a little ironic. I always like, I was thinking about this. It's kind of ironic that the one guy who's had success, constant success, of the Philistines is on retreat, and the one who keeps getting defeated now breaks off from David and goes to take on the Philistines. Because if he had caught up to David and said, David, our people are in trouble. You know what David would have done? Gone and fight the Philistines on behalf of the king. And God would have blessed him and gone before him, and David would have had this victory. We come to the last verse today. And David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. This was a rocky area, rocky heights on the west side of the Dead Sea. Another place that was no fun to live. You know what that says to me? Sometimes God's deliverance doesn't always look like deliverance. Sometimes when God provides a way out, you know the saying, out of the frying pan into the fire? Well, we know from God and from the Word of God that if God calls you to stand for His truth, He will go with you in the flames. He will go with you and He will deliver you and you will not be singed. Whereas if others attempt the same thing apart from God, they will. As we reflect on what happened, we see that Jonathan was right to strengthen David's hand. And the wording in the NIV is a little different, but what that wording means is that God strengthened David's hand in the Lord. And I love that picture. Strengthen us. David's future was not to be determined by what he could see, but by what he couldn't see, the hand of God. Now, David could have said, I see Saul's hand. What's in Saul's hand? What's always in Saul's hand? The spear. So we can go by what we see, the spear in the hand of the enemy. Or we can see the hand of God. Are both true? Yes. Does Saul walk around daily with this? Everyone who comes against him, what does he have in his? He throws a spear at him. Why? Because it's here. He is defined by hatred and bitterness. And people who are defined by hatred and bitterness walk around with spears looking for people to impale. And we need to not hate them. We need to hurt for them. See, the one I hate to see any reflection of in my life is Saul. And yet there's times where I've had the heart of Saul. Have you guys been there? Where rather than the heart of David, it's the heart of Saul. Guys, our enemies are not ones we turn around and become Saul with back. Remember the subtext, the subtheme of our series that we're in. Don't throw spears back. It's so hard not to, guys. And when you do, repent, and then don't live in shame in it anymore. Repent, be healed. Make things right as far as it depends on you. As much as you can, it won't always be received, and that's okay. But don't allow it to destroy your heart. You know, why is it so many people who are abused become abusers? This is why, what we've just been talking about. They stir the pain. Hurt people become people who hurt people. Apart from the work of Christ in their lives. See, David, he could see Saul's ruthlessness, his bitterness, his jealous hand. But David trusts the hand that is unseen rather than what he can see. Guys, there's going to be times where you know what's happening. You can see it all before you. Do not trust it. Do not trust yourself. Do not trust me. Do not love me. Love each other. Trust God. Period. Period. God had given David a promise. You will be king. David, rather than seeing Saul's hand, I'm defeated, he sees the unseen hand of God. He trusts the unseen hand of God. And the deliverance of David is a beautiful picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Guys, do you hear that? The deliverance of David is a beautiful picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Being delivered. You see, the reality is, you and I live in sin. There is not one righteous. No, not even one. We have no way to make our hearts right before God. All of us are doomed to failure. All of us are doomed to hell. We have no option. There's nothing before us. And God steps in. When there is no option, God steps in, just like he does with David. And he delivers his people. But we're not delivered to be delivered. We're delivered to serve God, to be about his hand now, to be a part of his hand reaching out. Is God putting something on your heart? Maybe the answer is not, well, why isn't somebody doing this? Maybe as God is putting something on your heart, he's saying, because I'm asking you to be the answer to your prayer. Because I've given you gifts so that you can do this work. You see it for a reason. There's a real need. Now step into that. But God, it's too hard. Yes, it is. It's too big, I promise you. You're right. But it's not too big for God. When Christians hear the Apostle Paul say, no matter what is happening in your life, like with the scripture that we started with, therefore do not lose heart. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because God has given his promise. Because God has given his promise. God's word is true. Move forward in that truth. Is your hand strengthened in God? Are you as David? Is your hand strengthened in God? Do you have Jonathans in your life who come and remind you that your hand is strengthened in the Lord, in his truth, in his promise? Guys, we're not called to do this alone. You cannot do this alone. You need God, you need God's people. That's the way God created you. That bring honors and glory to God. Our trusting God and loving and supporting each other and walking forward with each other, that honors God. Is your hand strengthened in the Lord? It's a question we keep coming back to. This is not one of those questions that we get to say, okay, I get it. God strengthened me and I'm all good now. Because guess what happens tomorrow? A new challenge. Guess who comes by tomorrow? A new Saul. Or the old Saul with new spears. But God is greater. And one of the things I always appreciate about David, and we'll see it here as we finish up in the last few sermons that we've got in this series. David never comes to the place where he takes vengeance in his hands. He never comes to the place where he says, enough. God is too slow in keeping his promises. Enough! You see, David doesn't become Saul to get rid of Saul. I hope you hear that. David does not become Saul to get rid of Saul. Guys, it's the easiest thing to do. It fits into the flesh so beautifully. The enemy has such an easy button to push on this one. When we are wounded, it's so easy for us to then feel righteous in wounding back. But actually, it's becoming self-righteous, self-focused, becoming the very thing that we were struggling against. And it slips in, and we don't even see it. And the enemy can cause such destruction in our lives as a result of it. I want to encourage you, be honest before God. Be honest with who you are, with what you're struggling. Don't say prayers that sound nice and flowery. And God wants your heart. He wants your mind. And he wants to take that. And when we give that to him in our brokenness, he then gives it back to us in wholeness. My hope and prayer is that we experience more and more of the life of David. And less of the life of Saul. That we experience more intimacy with Jesus and less religious activity with God. More knowing God and being known by God rather than just knowing about God. Religion is as dangerous as anything else when it's apart from relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe even more so because it's closer to the truth. So it's harder to see the lies. Let's move away from religious activity. Let's move back more and more areas of our lives into true relationship with Jesus Christ, into true being broken before him and saying, I can't. And God saying, we will. I will through you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that you know what we don't know. Thank you, Lord, that you know the truth, not just our version of the truth. That your understanding is greater than our understanding. That you have a wholeness to understanding. That you're the author of truth. Father, I pray that you would continue to do in our lives what you need to do to bring us to areas of being humble before you. God, pruning is not fun, but you're pruning David here to be king. You're pruning David to live in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Lord, we pray for that pruning in our own lives. Lord, we pray that we would receive it and not run away from it, not hide from it in fear. That we would see that as you're getting the soil ready, pruning the tree, Lord, that it's a beautiful thing. And Lord, that we get to even produce fruit because you're doing it through us. And none of the fruit that comes is on our own. But it's all through your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.